Harvard.
Oh, so we did the vows. Yeah, so we did the vows, and that wasn't just people. It was people, it was...
Animals,
right? And it all had, it was all in connection with the Yovel, right? The 50th year, right? Counting the seven Sabbath years all the way up to the 50th year and what that looked like. And so all that was connected to it. So yeah, that's where we were left off at. And now we're getting into Bar Midbar, the book of Numbers. So y'all turn to the first page of the book of Numbers, and you guys ready?
This should be the book of John.
Hmm?
The book of John. John's
here. Yeah, so Bar Midbar, right? Bar Midbar. Everyone say Bar Midbar.
Bar Midbar.
Means in the wilderness. Yep, that's what it means. In the wilderness. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the food and the fellowship, Lord. We thank you so much just for your love and your care for us. And we just pray that if for our study, that you would bring forth your word that is alive and active. Father, your spirit that turns chaos, oh Lord, into order. And we just pray for your perfect order. And we pray for your perfect word, oh Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. All right, so Numbers, we'll just start reading and then we'll discuss this. You guys ready? So Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they come out of the land of Egypt, saying, we'll stop right there. Very far, right? So, what do you guys notice so far? When is this happening?
Second month. Or the first year, or the second year.
So, you say...
So that would be a month after Passover, the second Passover, right?
Hold on. You said, what day was it again?
The first day of the second month in the second year.
So we're in the second month of the second year. So second year, second month. That's interesting. Okay, we'll keep that in mind here. You guys know why that's interesting?
It's after Passover, the first, after they had left Egypt, it's the first year in, but it's the second month. So
so this would be Numbers 1:1, right? So every book of your Bible, well, of the Torah, so far is chronological. Pretty much. You'll have that one instance with Judah, where we're talking about when Joseph is getting sold into slavery, and all of a sudden they just start talking about Judah, and Judah gets married, Judah has three children, one child, two of them die, the other one he's supposed to give to
Tamar,
but as time goes by, probably like 20 years go by, he never gives them to Tamar, so then he sleeps with Tamar, then Tamar has twins, which is like another year. So how long does it take for a man to have three children with one wife?
4 or 5 years. 3 years.
Because you had to wait till that kid grew up, too.
So anywhere from 3 to 9 years. And then how long does it take for those kids to get married?
50 years.
Like 30 years to get married, right? And then the first husband dies, then the second husband dies, and then there's a waiting period for the youngest child. So how long do you think goes on until Tamar and Judah have children?
A lot of years. A lot of years.
50 years, maybe? So the Tamar, and then the next chapter goes back to Joseph going to Egypt in slavery. So you have moments like that where your Bible is going chronological, and then we're just going to fast forward way over there, and then we're going to bring it all the way back over here.
Yeah.
So right here, this is kind of what we're doing. This is another instance of Numbers chapter 1, verse 1, chronologically happens after Numbers 9 and after Numbers chapter 7. Okay?
Really?
Because Numbers 9:1, if you go to Numbers chapter 9, verse 1, it's going to be the 14th day. What happens on the 14th day of the first month? Passover.
That's right.
Then if you go to Numbers chapter 7, verse 1, you guys remember what Numbers chapter 7 verse 1 says? We talked about it last year. Why are you laughing?
Yeah, it always makes sense. I don't know anything that's going to happen.
This is the second year.
Seven verse
of the first month.
You're funny, Fernando. You're so funny.
Okay, so Numbers 1:1, what we just read, is the second year of the second month. Well, Numbers chapter 9 is the second year of the 14th day.
Oh my goodness.
Which is before.
Yeah,
Numbers 1.
Before. Yeah.
So you forgot to mention something.
I forgot to mention?
No, I'm saying the writer.
He's all over
this
the
is
page.
My wife talking to me right here. This is how my wife talks to me. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm hoping you learn to read the Bible.
I don't think so.
And John knows, because that's why he's chuckling.
Hey, but you love her, hey? Still all works out.
I didn't say I didn't love her. I'm just saying she makes our conversations very difficult.
John's pleading the fifth.
Yep, I'm not incriminating myself.
No, you don't.
But sometimes women like, this is how they make a conversation very difficult for a man.
So you're saying this writer is a woman?
I'm saying...
His wife, Laura.
It might be.
The typical man that likes to go from A through Z, or 1 through 10 in that order.
We gotta keep it interesting.
Yeah, the woman likes to go from A to L, back to C, then to P.
And then inject another story in there.
Yes, that has nothing to do with the original story. Just a thought that comes up about someone else.
Hey, it's all good.
The 14th day is second year. It's the seventh year.
That's the second. It's what we just read. It's the second year of the second month.
But she showed you the 14th. What if you have a 14th day?
It's the 14th day. Yeah, it's the second year. So both all this is the second year. You're going to read Numbers 9, verse 1. Right?
Seventh year. The seventh year.
No, this is all the second year. This is what we just read. It's all the second year. Yeah, so we're in the second year, second month, is what we just read. But that's after the second year of Passover, which happens on the first month, on the 14th day, which is after 7:1, which is the second year, first month. So chronologically, Numbers 7, chapter 7, comes before Numbers chapter 1. And chronologically, Numbers chapter 9 comes before Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. You see, I wrote this in chronological order for you. If you wanted to read Numbers in chronological order, you would start at chapter 7. And then you would read chapter 7, chapters 8, chapters 9, and then go back to chapters 1.
Wow. Yep.
That's what I'm trying to show you.
I think it was a female.
Yeah, I'm convinced too. And that's why your Bible is hard to read sometimes.
Or maybe she was taking care of the children. And
no, you did this before we had children. You spoke like that before we had children.
Or maybe there's just men that think that way, like women as well.
Yeah, there are a few men that are just as confusing. You're correct.
Oh, there we go.
So anyway, just wanted to show you that this is how this book is framed, and it's not, it's on purpose, right? It's on purpose. And if you remember how we covered it last year, you should know the purpose. Mm. All right, so verse 2, you guys good? You guys gonna survive on this one? You don't know if you're gonna survive on this one? Here we go. Well, at least try. Try to survive. So verse 2, take the number of the whole congregation of the children of Israel after their families by the house of their fathers with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel. You and Aaron will number them by their names or by their armies, and there will be a man from every tribe with you, each one the head of the house of his fathers. These are the names of the men that will stand with you. From Reuben, Elisar, the son of Shedeur. From Simeon, Shelemuel, the son of Zurishaddai. From Judah, Nashon, the son of Amminadab. From Issachar, Nathanael, son of Zuar. From Zebulun, Eliab, the son of Helon. From the children of Joseph, from Ephraim, Elishama, the son of Ammihud. From Manasseh, Gamaliel, the son of Pedashur. From Benjamin, Abidan, the son of Gideoni. From Dan, Achizar, the son of Amishaddai. From Asher, Pagiel, son of Achron. From Gad, Eliasaph, the son of Duel. And from Naphtali, Ahira, son of Enan. So what are they supposed to do, these guys?
Count them.
Count them for what?
War.
That's what it says, right? Okay. So verse 16. So these were those of the congregation who were called, princes of the tribes of their fathers, heads of thousands in Israel. Moses and Aaron took these men that were specified by their names. They assembled the whole congregation together on the first day of the second month, and they were listed according to their families by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward by their polls. So Moses numbered them in the wilderness of Sinai as Yahweh commanded. And we are about to get into John's favorite, his favorite topic. Guess what we're going to do?
Count.
We're about to start to count.
Yeah.
Yes, this is his favorite topic. You guys ready? John, is this your favorite topic?
Pretty much.
Here we go. Verse 20. So the children of Reuben, Israel's eldest son, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the numbers of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 46,500 from the tribe of Reuben. From the children of Simeon, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, those that were numbered of them, according to the number of the names, by their polls, every male from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those who were numbered of them, were 59,300 of the tribe of Simeon. Okay, so let's do Reuben for first. Reuben equals 46,500. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Who was after Reuben?
Simeon.
He equals
59,300.
Ooh.
9 and 50,000.
Oh, yours is that.
Yeah.
That's how Hebrew. That's how Hebrew really does it.
9 and 50,300.
Yeah.
This is why people get messed up. The way her Bible reads is the way the actual Hebrew reads, and this is what gets a lot of modern scholars, especially like the in the 1980s and stuff, those guys, they got like the Book of Daniel really thrown off for like
Germans the same way.
Yeah, so the way it's worded there made a lot of like 1980s preachers in America make the Book of Daniel something that it's not. Like they started coming up with this 7-year tribulation time and all that just because they didn't know how to read that.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Where would they got all that?
Because it was just a lack of their academic part of how the Hebrew numbering goes. So, read yours again, because this is how it's supposed to read.
John reads the same way, right, John?
No, the German reads that way.
So it says 950,300.
Yeah, so that's how all the numbers in the Bible are really stated. Some of our translations make it more modern for us, like this. The only time they didn't make it modern for us was in the Book of Daniel. And so everyone thinks it's some big old mystery, like, and Daniel said it was going to be 7 weeks. And it really means 7 years. Like, no, if you really read it, it means it was more like 70 times 70. In the actual Hebrew, that's what it's telling you. But they turned it into this big end time thing, and you got the Left Behind series and all that because of it. All this stuff.
It was big stuff.
Because they thought that Daniel, this was a mysterious book, but
yeah,
not
we were
knowing
at the edge of our seats on that one.
That's how all the Bible was read, but the modern translators just didn't touch that one. So these new preachers, like in the 80s and 90s, came with this whole theology just from a lack of scholarship.
Imagine living in a house with a pastor.
Completely messed up. It's tough. That's why you have to really take Yeshua's words and says, the angels don't know. No one knows. Not even the Son knows. Not even the Son of God himself knows. There's only one person who knows the time. And that's the Father. So don't let anyone tell you it's going to happen in, you know, in the year 2000, in 2026, or does that just be ready?
Now we're hearing, the coming of the Lord is coming on Shavuot, not on Feast of Trumpets.
No, they don't even.
So now we've heard that just last week, I'm thinking.
Don't do any of that. Right? Like, don't. Nobody knows. You and I are always supposed to be ready. That's why Yahweh has all these feast days. Every week is a Shabbat. All of this is just a picture of the garden to get our hearts ready for the garden. Right? Like Yeshua, the debate, you know, did he die on Passover? Did he not die on Passover? Like everything he did, there was elements of Yom Kippur in when he died. Did he die on Yom Kippur? No. But he fulfilled a lot of things about Yom Kippur. He fulfilled a lot of things about the red heifer. He fulfilled a lot of things about trumpets. He fulfilled, like, you know, it doesn't mean he has to do it on that day. Those are just signs of a day that is coming. You know what I mean? An ultimate day where every feast day we do would be culminated all into one day when he returns.
Which no one knows.
Which nobody knows. Nobody knows. So for someone to say he's coming on Shavuot, or someone to say he's coming on trumpets, or someone to say he's coming on the Sabbath day, or whatever, that's foolishness. They don't know. That's just a guess. All Yeshua says is be ready. Every day, be ready. Live like he's coming back that day, right? So.
You think Yahweh works on the Sabbath day?
Do I think he works on the Sabbath day? Depends on what you mean by work. He's always working, according to Yeshua. The priest always worked on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
That was their busiest day, was the Sabbath day.
And if you're going to save your ox and fall into the hole, you got to get it out, right? You can't just leave it there.
So it just depends on your definition of work.
That's true.
That just depends on your definition of what work is. Right?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because this right here, this is what I'm doing. Is this work or is it not work? Just depends on your perception. Right? The priest lighting the candles and baking bread and everything on Shabbat. Right? So what did God really mean? God meant that rest was basically spending the day devoted to Him. It didn't mean that you had to sit there and be like a robot. And it didn't mean to sleep in your bed all day for you to rest. That's not what He meant.
He probably didn't mean, you could turn the lights on and don't worry about that. It's like lots of people stay in the dark, I guess.
Yeah, when He told them not to work, He was talking about a people that He just commissioned to build this tabernacle, to build a sanctuary. Right? So when He says... And they came from a mentality of being slaves, of always having to work. So He basically said, here's your job. Your only job is to build My tabernacle, but don't work on the Sabbath day. Don't dwell there on the Sabbath day. Rest. For 6 days, y'all can build that. But on the Sabbath day, please just take a break. Right? So it's all about perception. But somebody needs to maintain that sanctuary, and the priest did every Sabbath day. So it just depends, you know? So, I'll go ahead and answer that question. All right, where was I at? Verse 24?
25?
Gad. So from the children of Gad, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 45,650 of the tribe of Gad.
So we got Gad
equals how much?
45,650.
And if you don't know how to add later on, your Bible will do it for you and give you the answer. If all books were that way, it would be so nice. I would have loved school.
603,550.
Hold on, John. You're jumping ahead.
John's already up the end.
Verse 26. From the children of Judah, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 74,600 of the tribe of Judah. So we got Judah. And he equals how much?
74,600.
So as we write these down, you all get to see who had the biggest, who had the smallest, what was the average, and all those other analytics you can run with all these numbers. Right, John?
Yep.
And then later we'll see the next one on the next count. We'll say who grew and who didn't.
Yeah, correct. All right, from the children of Issachar, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go to war, those that were numbered of them were 54,400 of the tribe of Issachar. So you got Issachar, and he was how much?
54,400.
So far, Judah's taking the lead by a long shot. Okay. From the children of Zebulun, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 57,400 of the tribe of Zebulun. So we got Zebi here. Zebulun is how much, John?
57,400.
Lots of even numbers there. How come there's not a 59,301, 302, 303?
Probably into another group.
All right. So the children of Joseph, the children of Ephraim, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 40,500 of the tribe of Ephraim. All right, so now we have Ephraim. We're not going to put Joseph, we're going to put Ephraim. And how much is he?
40,500.
Okay, the guy that was born in Egypt to an Egyptian mother. And from the children of Manasseh, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 32,200 of the tribe of Manasseh. So, Manasseh, how much?
32,200.
So how much does Joseph have combined?
72,700.
Ooh, just short of Judah. Just a little bit short of Judah. Okay. Verse 36. From the children of Benjamin, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, were 35,400 of the tribe of Benjamin. Alright, so now you got Benjamin. How much was he?
35,400.
Pretty small. That's pretty small. Okay.
Verse 30. Dan's going to pump it up a little bit.
Huh?
Dan's going to pump up the numbers a little bit.
Okay. From the children of Dan, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them, were 62,700 of the tribe of Dan. Now we got Dan. How much was he, John?
62,700.
So is he in third place?
Yep.
All right, okay. From the children of Asher, by their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of the names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 41,500 of the tribe of Asher. Okay, so Asher is how much?
41,500.
500, okay. From the children of Naphtali, throughout their generations, after their families, by the house of their fathers, according to the number of names, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war, those that were numbered of them were 53,400 of the tribe of Naphtali. So we got Naphtali, and he equals how much?
53,400.
400, okay, thank you, John. Then, these are those that were numbered whom Moses and Aaron and the princes of Israel numbered. 12 men, each one was for the house of his fathers. So those were all that were numbered of the children of Israel, by the house of their fathers, from 20 years old and upward, all that were able to go forth to war in Israel. All those were numbered were 603,550. But the Levites, after the tribe of their fathers, were not numbered among them. So this total is how much?
603,550.
All right, total. There you go. Not too shabby for a brand new nation, huh? And what age did they go to war at?
20 and up.
20. What age does your guys go to war in America?
18, that's dingy.
18.
That's wrong.
Lots of 16 and 17 year olds went to war in World War II.
Oh, man.
They just lied about their age because they wanted to fight for the nation.
Didn't they do that with when the states divided and they went to war?
Oh, yeah.
That was sad.
Yep, that's what happens.
That was so sad.
I don't know if that would happen again, though, because now all the people are, they just want to play their video games and eat potato chips.
Yeah, now you got 4-year-olds still playing video games and stuff, if not older.
That's sad.
Yeah, all right, so verse 48, Yahweh had spoken to Moses, saying, "You will not number only the tribe of Levi, neither will you take the sum of them among the children of Israel. But you will appoint the Levites over the tabernacle, over all its vessels, over all the things that belong to it. They will bear the tabernacle, all of its vessels, and they will serve it and will camp around the tabernacle. When the tabernacle moves, the Levites will take it down. When the tabernacle is to be set up, the Levites will set it up. And the insolent, the godless one that comes near will be put to death. The children of Israel will pitch their tent, each man by his own camp, each man by his own standard, throughout their armies. But the Levites will pitch around the tabernacle of testimony, so there will be no wrath upon the congregation of the children of Israel. And the Levites will keep the charge of the tabernacle of the testimony." And the children of Israel did so according to all that Yahweh commanded them, and so they did. Okay, so we got our community down here, right? Anything else stick out to you guys in chapter 1?
I just wondered how many people were in the Levites. We're not even supposed to know, huh?
Well, they're going to count the Levites at a certain, from a certain age. Right, we're going to have to do that here at the end of the Torah portion. So how many tribes do we have up on the board?
12.
Are you sure?
Is it 13?
You tell me.
13. No,
12. Whoa.
Sorry, 12.
So yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Because Joseph became 2, mm-hmm. right? With Manasseh.
And we didn't count the Levites.
And Ephraim, and then we took the Levites out. Right? So there you go. How do you like biblical math? There's originally 12 tribes, but then Joseph became 2 tribes, which would have made it 13, but Yahweh said, "Give me Levites." So you still have 12 tribes. All right. That's chapter 1. Any other comments you guys have? You guys all good? All right. Chapter 2. Let's plug away. So Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "Each man of the children of Israel will pitch by his own standard. With the ensign of their father's house, they will pitch far off around the tent of meeting. And on the east side, toward the rising of the sun, those of the standard of the camp of Judah will pitch throughout their armies. And Nashon, the son of Amminadab, is captain of the children of Judah. And his army and those that were numbered of them were 74,600. We just read that, right? And those that pitched next to him will be the tribe of Issachar. And Nathanael, the son of Zuar, is the captain of the children of Issachar. And his army and those that were numbered of it were 54,400. The tribe of Zebulon and Eliab, the son of Helon, is the captain of the children of Zebulun, and his army and those that were numbered of it were 57,400. Psst, we just read that, didn't we?
In case you forget.
To my wife telling me a story, I'm like, you already told me that story. Did I? Yes, you already told me. All that were numbered in the camp of Judah were 186,400. Throughout their armies, these will set forth first. So the standard of the camp of Reuben will be on the south side, according to their armies, and Elisur, the son of Shedeur, is the captain of the children of Reuben. And his army and those that were numbered of it were 46,500. And those that pitched next to him will be the tribe of Simeon. And Shelumiel, the son of Zurishaddai, is the captain of the children of Simeon. His army and those that were numbered of them are 59,300. Let's see, did we already have 59,300? Oh, yes, we do. We already read that. Wow. Why couldn't we just put chapter 1 and 2 together? It's the same information.
Because there's a captain in each one. We could let you know that on top of that.
Again, you could have just put them, the numbers and the names together, right? Just saying. Just saying. But I didn't write the Bible, right? All right, so verse 13. So, and his army and those that were numbered of them were 59,300, which we read in chapter 1. And the tribe of Gad and Eliasaph, the son of Reuel, is the captain of the sons of Gad. And his army and those that were numbered of them were 45,600. 150. Huh, is that on the board too? Oh, look at that. Gad, 45,650. I guess we read that already too. How wonderful. Just saying. Verse 16. That he repeat that chapter 1 is unnecessary because we get all that information in chapter 2.
They had to let you know that the captains, but we also have to repeat.
Okay.
We don't get it right.
Well, it took them a long time to write this, so there has to be a reason.
Of course, of course.
They didn't just sit here, oh yeah, I'll write this twice, just because.
Just I have so some extra scroll.
Fernando can stay awake.
Put me to sleep, like I already read this. Right, verse 16, is that where we're at?
Yeah.
All that were numbered in the camp of Reuben were 151,450 throughout their armies, and they will set forth in the second rank. So now all he's doing is he's just taking the sum of the three tribes that are going to camp together, and he's just totaling those three together. Okay?
On the east side.
That's on the east side so far. Now he's going to get into Reuben and them, right? Or did you already do Reuben? I think we just did Reuben. Right, so it was Judah. Who was on the east side? Come on!
Reuben, Simeon, and Gad.
On the east side?
It was Judah, right?
Oh, okay. See there?
Judah, Zebulun, and...
We used to make a map.
Issachar.
We used to put it all pretty on the board, too.
Yeah, I'll put it out here. Let me finish reading chapter 2, and I'll put it on the board for you. Okay? And then we'll break down this whole east side thing. The whole east. Okay? It's a biblical theme. The east is a biblical theme that we've already tracked pretty together for the last couple years. So hopefully it all is coming together for you now as we read this. Ow! They just looked at me. Okay, so verse 16, all those were numbered of the tribe of Reuben were 151,000, or the camp of Reuben, 450 throughout their armies, and they will set forth in the second rank. So they're going to be the guys on the south side. So verse 17, so then the tent of meeting will set forward with the camp of the Levites in the midst of the camps as they camp. So will they set forth each man in his place by their standards. The standard of the camp of Ephraim will be on the west side according to their armies, and Elishama, the son of Ammihud, is the captain of the sons of Ephraim. And his army and those that were numbered of them were 40,500. And the tribe of Manasseh will be next to him, and Gamaliel, the son of Pedahshur, is the captain of the children of Manasseh. His army and those that were numbered of them were 32,200. Then the tribe of Benjamin and Abidan, the son of Gideoni, is the captain of the sons of Benjamin. His army and those that were numbered of them were 35,400. All that were numbered of the camp of Ephraim were 108,100 throughout their armies, and they will go forward in the third rank. You got something, John? No? Okay. So the standard of the camp of Dan will be on the north side by their armies, and Ahizar, the son of Amishaddai, is the captain of the children of Dan. And his army and those that were numbered of them were 62,700. You guys already know that. Those that camp beside him will be of the tribe of Asher. And Pagiel, the son of Ochron, is the captain of the children of Asher. And his army and those that were numbered of them were 41,500. Then the tribe of Naphtali, and Ahira, the son of Enan, is the captain of the children of Naphtali. His armies and those that were numbered of them were 53,400. All those that were numbered in the camp of Dan were 157,600. They will go last in their standards. So these are all those that were numbered of the children of Israel by the house of their fathers. All those that were numbered of the camps throughout their armies were 603,550. Do we already have that number?
We do.
We do. Where did we get that number from already?
Previous chapter.
Oh, the previous chapter. I'm telling you, just repeating themselves. So, but the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel as Yahweh had commanded Moses. Dude, we already know that. How did you know that?
Because it was in the last chapter.
There you go. Good job, Viola. Okay, so the children of Israel did according to all that Yahweh commanded Moses, so they pitched their standards, and so they set forward. Everyone after their families, according to the house of their fathers. So that's chapter 2. All right, chapter 3, you guys ready? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. All righty. So all they did is they got their camps. Okay. We have over here on the east side, we'll just say right here in the middle, we'll say is Yahweh. This is Yahweh, his ark, his tabernacle, right? So, which way is east if this was a map?
If the top is north,
yes.
East would be
over here. Okay, who's over here? You got Judah. You got Zebulon.
Yeah, there you go, John. That's
a good Judah, one. Zebulon, and who?
We've got to put the Levites in there.
Judah, Issachar. We got Issachar. Okay, and all he did is he took these numbers here and he gave you the total of the camp. Right? So he took Judah, Zebulun, and Issachar and totaled them up. You guys know what the total is? 186,400.
Which that's going to be the biggest one.
Right, and they are over here on the east. Okay. Then on the south, we got Reuben, Simeon, and who? Gad? We got Gad. And then he totaled all this up, and you guys know how much that one was? 151,450? John, you gonna double check my math?
No.
No, you don't have to, I'm just saying, you're typically the number guy.
450, yeah.
Then we have Ephraim over here on the west. Mm-hmm. Who else?
Manasseh.
You sure?
Manasseh, yep.
Okay, who else?
Benny.
Benjamin.
All the family right there.
Okay. How those, much?
They have to be together.
How much were those three together?
108,100.
That's going to be the smallest.
Is your Bible telling you, or are you counting those up?
No, it tells you.
Aw, hers tells her. Cheater.
Yours doesn't tell you?
No, my book that the kids bought me does, though.
It says, like, and the reckoning for the camp of Ephraim, 108.
Oh, yeah. The Bible tells me in there. Yeah, you're right, it does.
The Bible tells me, so. See?
Okay, and then on the north, we have who?
Dan.
And who else?
Asher.
And then who else?
Naphtali.
And Naphtali.
Naphtali.
And how much do they have altogether?
157,600.
That was just...
Okay.
And the Levites going to center,
going to
write them?
Hold on, we're not done. That was just chapter 2.
Okay. But it talks about the Levites.
It doesn't give us a number for them yet.
No, we don't need to know the number.
We're going to count them in the next chapter 2. Uh-oh.
Get a little closer to see this.
Oh, go ahead, John. You get up there.
Not to mention my back's already stretched.
Well, he's over there. Okay, so he's over there, right? And why is the east important? Why are we only going to travel east? Why is Judah going to be the first one to go?
Lion of Judah is the lineage of the Lord.
Why is he the lineage of the Lord? Why is he the lineage of the Lord?
Because he's awesome.
No.
Because he's a praise and worship battle. No?
Why Judah? Why not Reuben? Why not Simeon?
No, they didn't do so good.
Why not Levi?
Is he the firstborn?
No, he's not. Reuben is the firstborn.
He's got the most people.
Reuben messed up, so that was X'd out, okay?
Tell us why. Genesis 49.
Okay, everybody go there.
Genesis 49, verse 1 through 27.
Genesis 49.
She tells everyone to go there. She's not even turning her pages. She wants you guys to do the talking. Look at her.
Because of
Genesis 49, what?
Mine isn't like the normal Bible. It's like, yeah.
Genesis 49.
What verses?
8.
1 through 27.
Oh,
right, this is where Judah gains. He gains the prominence over all the other tribes. When his dad's blessing him, it's his dad's on his deathbed. Jacob's on his deathbed, and he's given a blessing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and this blessing goes to Judah, even though Reuben was the firstborn, right? And in this blessing, Judah is where the royal tribe, right, the royal son, is going to come through. You guys remember that?
Mm-hmm. I think I said that in other words.
Yeah,
other
you did.
Words.
Yeah, Judah is going to be the one. This royal son is going to come, right, this royal lineage. John, what are you going to say?
The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because in that blessing, through him, redemption is going to come through God's people, through Judah. Right, redemption's coming.
Right, Yeshua.
Yeah, and then if you look, after Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden, where did they go?
East.
They went east. Good job, John.
To the land of Nod.
They went east, right? So then, and Cain, where was Cain? Where did he go when he took off?
East as well.
He went east, right?
He built a wall.
So yeah, a good land towards the east, right? In Genesis 3:24. What about Babylon? What direction was Babylon?
East.
Correct. It was east. What about Sodom? Where east. Was Sodom compared to the Promised Land?
East.
It was east. Yeah. Are you just guessing, or you, yeah. Or do you know?
I'm just guessing, but it's working out. Look at that.
All right. So throughout your Bible, everyone's getting pushed east. Everything's east of the garden, right? But that becomes not a cursing. Now it's become a blessing because out of the east, this is where redemption comes. Because east has always been a bad thing, but now everyone looks to the east because from the east, that's where our redemption comes. So whenever you do your blessing from the east, in the beginning, where does the sun rise?
East.
That's where the sun's going to come from. It's going to come from the east.
Yeshua.
He's going to come from the east. He's going to split the eastern sky. Because from the east, all the tribes are looking. Because that's who directs us. is the tribe of Judah, where the royal son comes from.
So why were you saying east was bad at one time?
Because that's where you got kicked out of the garden. You had to go east.
Oh.
Babylon was in the east. Cain's city was in the east. Oh. Everything bad was Sodom's in the east. But now, from the east, there's going to be the royal son's going to come from the east because he went into Babylon, flipped Babylon on its head, and now he's coming back from the east. After he conquered Babylon, after he conquered Sodom, after he conquered the wilderness, he's coming back. Out of the wilderness, he comes back with redemption, right? And healing in his wings. So that's why you look to the east, because through the east, that's where Judah is. So he's set up there in order. So, and the cool thing also that you need to notice about this is, what were they, how were they traveling before this time?
Mixed.
They were just like wild, right? There was no order. So they were in the wilderness, right? Yeah. They're traveling.
That's true.
So they were traveling wild, right? Just kind of running wild.
No order.
Until now, they have order.
Now they're going to march to a drum beat.
So where else in your Bible was there wilderness, wild, or chaos, or unorganization, where God brought order to it?
Babel?
No, the creation.
Creation. Yeah, so they're running wild, but now God brings a formation to the people.
The tohu va-vohu.
Hey, John's got it down. Did I say that enough times, or did you read it enough times? Oh, you're writing it, aren't you? Or you're reading it?
No, I've been reading it a few times.
You can remember birthdays, what do you mean? You're asking some of the nice stuff.
All right, so I think we're ready for chapter 3. You guys think you're ready for chapter 3 now?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's your picture for you, Miss Viola.
We forgot the...
No, we didn't forget. We haven't read it yet. Chapter 3.
Oh, okay.
John Jr., chapter 3. These also are the generations of Aaron and Moses on the day Yahweh spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. These are the names of the sons of Aaron. Nadab, the firstborn, Abihu, Eleazar, Itamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the priests that were anointed, whom he consecrated to serve in the priest office. Nadab and Abihu died before Yahweh when they offered strange fire before Yahweh in the wilderness of Sinai. They had no children, and Eleazar and Itamar served in the priest office in the sight of Aaron, their father. All right, so now he's bringing back up Nadab and Abihu. What do y'all know about them?
Deceased.
Why?
Strange fire. Out of order.
But yeah, it was out of order. So God puts order, and then he reminds us about Nadab and Abihu, who were out of order. Right? So is God a God of order?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
To do it his way or no way.
Anybody ever had order in your parents' house growing up? Was there ever things you could and couldn't do?
Yeah.
Was there any penalties if you ever went out of order?
Yeah, our house started with order, and then the tohu va-vohu came later.
Now, did your parents ever try to restore order?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The bell could come out.
What would you do when the bell came out, Viola?
Nobody told me about it. Grandpa leaped the frog in the kitchen, and I was still bent over. Come on, you guys, hurry up, and Dad goes, and whacks me.
Ooh.
I screamed and I jumped up and I ran. I think he was laughing. It was horrible for me.
John's laughing. What are you thinking about, John?
I'm thinking about my, at the time, youngest brother. If my parents left the house, he would just go on a rampage and tip the furniture.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't believe us that he would do it. So one day when they left, he waited about 2 or 3 minutes and came back in, and here's a little incredible Hulk.
Uh-oh.
That was the last time he did it.
Yep, that was a cure.
What did you do when Dad came back in and saw him? Did you watch?
I landed hit. Oh. But I heard.
So you didn't watch the outcome of that?
Nope.
You didn't want to, or?
Nope.
Did you know it would be
I stayed clear of the...
Oh, the wrath?
Yeah.
You knew wrath was coming, so you hid from it, huh?
Yeah, I don't think my parents believed, because he was such a little guy. He would tip the kitchen
youngest?
Table.
The youngest?
Yeah, it was my brother Jake. Oh. Which he was the youngest boy at the time.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Who told on him? You?
A little hawk.
I think Helen.
Oh, hawk. Helen told on him. Oh, man. Okay. So, yeah, so we're reminded of Nadab, Abihu, the sons of Aaron, verse 5. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, bring the tribe of Levi near, present them before Aaron the priest, so they can serve him. They will keep his charge, the charge of the whole congregation before the tent of meeting, to do the service of the tabernacle. They will keep all the vessels of the tent of meeting, the charge of the children of Israel, to do the service of the tabernacle. And you will give the Levites to Aaron and to his sons. They are wholly given to him from the children of Israel. You will appoint Aaron and his sons. They will guard the priest office, and the insolent godless one that comes near will be put to death. So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, I am. Behold, I have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn that opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites will be mine, because all the firstborns are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified for myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They will be mine. I am Yahweh. All right. So chapter 3 so far, we're talking about who? So there's a difference between Aaron's sons and the Levites. These guys are going to be the priests, and these guys are going to help the priests. Because not all Levites are priests, right? Not all of these guys are going to be priests. Only Aaron's sons, his close kin, are priests. The Levites, which is the tribe that he's from, they're going to help them in whatever they need help for. But not all of them are priests. Does that make sense? Okay. This is why later on, you're going to have Korah, who is a Levite, upset that he can't be a priest because he wants to be a priest.
He doesn't want to just carry stuff.
Yes, correct. He wants to be in there lighting the fires and the candles, the menorahs, and doing the bread.
Holy of holies.
Yeah. And Aaron's like, dude, you're already a Levite. What else? Like, just all these other guys can do it. But no, you want to come up here. You're not cool being the vice president. You want to be the president.
But there were men of great prestige in Egypt. That's what got them going, right?
I don't know.
I think that's what it read.
I don't think it says that.
Yeah, I read it.
No.
I remember you read it.
No, I didn't read that.
Okay, but we're going to remember that one.
Okay.
Kind of take notes.
Yeah, take notes. It's coming up in chapter 14. So, yeah, the book of Numbers, this goes all pretty cool. Like, we're going to read some cool things up to chapter 14. Chapter 14, it goes womp, womp, womp. That's the turning point in the book of Numbers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to talk about, like, the offerings coming up, and, like, the longest chapter in the Torah is going to be them bringing the offerings. They're all in order. God's perfect order is all here. But then when we hit Numbers chapter 14, it just starts going downhill. Day after day after day, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and these people are so delusional. You know, delusion, it's a thing. And some of these guys are pretty delusional. Like, John probably had worker before that thought he was the number one worker, and John's like, man, you're the least worker. You ever had that before where someone just thought they were the best and top-notch worker and you're just like, that is far from the truth?
Yep. And good thing I didn't hire him, but I was glad when he got fired.
Okay.
So it wasn't your lack of discretion or discernment?
I probably shouldn't say it, but his first name was Trampas.
That is unique.
And his last name was Nash.
Oh no.
Yeah. All right. So, what did I leave off at? That was 11. So I'm now in 14. So Yahweh spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, "Number the children of Levi after the house of their fathers." Here you go, Viola. Now we're there. "By their families, you will number every male from a month old and upward." And Moses numbered them according to the word of Yahweh, as he was commanded. And these were the sons of Levi by their names: Gershon, Kohath, Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon by their families: Libni, and Shimi. And the sons of Kohath by their families: Amram, Ishachar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the sons of Kohath by their families: Amram, Issachar, Hebron, and Uziel. And the sons of Merari, I think I read that twice, sorry. The sons of Merari by their families: Mahli and Mushi. These are the families of the Levites according to the house of their fathers. The family of the Libnites and the family of the Shemites were from Gershon. These are the family of the Gershonites. Those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, those that were numbered of them were 7,500. The families of the Gershonites will pitch behind the tabernacle westward. And Eliasaph, the son of Lael, is the chief of the house of the father of the Gershonites. And the charge of the sons of Gershon in the tent of meeting of the tabernacle will be the tent, its covering, the hanging for the door of the tent of meeting, the hangings of the court, and the curtain for the door of the court, which surrounded the tabernacle, the altar, and its court for all of its service." You guys okay so far?
Yep, so 7,500 is all of them? Or is that just a portion of them?
Isn't that a portion?
Because that's a small number.
7,500 of them. Let me see if I have any notes over here. Wasn't that just for one tribe, or is that for all of them? Where did you get that number at, John? What verse
it's
was it?
It's in verse 22.
So the family of Libnites, family of the Shemites were from Gershon. Gershonites, those that were numbered, that's just the Gershonites. Yeah, that's just the Gershonites. Okay. All right, so verse 27. "From Kohath were the family of the Amramites, the family of the Isharites, the family of the Hebronites, the family of the Uzalites. These are the families of the Kohathites. The number of all the males from a month old and upward were 8,600, keeping the charge of the sanctuary. The families of the sons of Kohath will pitch on the side of the tabernacle southward, and the chief of the house of the father of the families of the Kohathites will be Elasaphan, the son of Uziel. And their charge will be the ark, the table, the menorah, the altars, the vessels of the sanctuary which they serve, the hanging and all of its service, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, will be chief over the chief of the Levites, having the oversight of those who keep the charge of the sanctuary." So I guess what we can do is what we did for the other tribes. We will take the Gershonites and we will put their number
on their side, whichever they have to be.
Gershonites. How much were they, John?
7,500.
And then the second one we just did was the who?
But what side were they on? I know that the second one is on the south.
Hold on!
Was it the Mahlites? The second group?
Kohath.
Okay, I went too far.
Mum's the word.
Kohath had how many? 8,000 what? 8,600? Okay, so Kohath had 8,600.
Yeah, plus we have the works that they did.
Then we got
the Mahlites.
Let me finish up to verse... I'm going to finish at 39, Viola, John Jr. Then we'll get all your information down. All right, here we go. 33, right? The family of the Mahlites was from Merari, the family of the Mushites. These are the families from Merari. Those that were numbered of them, according to the number of all the males from a month old and upward, were 6,200. The chief of the house of the father of the families of Merari was Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These will pitch on the side of the tabernacle, northward. And the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, all of its vessels, and all who serve there will be under the custody and the charge of the sons of Merari. Along with the pillars, around the court of their sockets, their pegs, and their cords. Okay, so Merari.
How 6, much? 200.
Merari. 6,200. Okay. So we're getting our numbers down first.
But then how are we going to get back and say north and then east and all that?
Hold on. Verse 38. But those that camp in front of the tabernacle toward the east, in front of the tent of meeting eastward, will be Moses and Aaron and his sons, keeping the charge of the sanctuary for the charge of the children of Israel, and the stranger that comes near will be put to death. So all that were numbered the Levites from Moses and Aaron, numbered at the commandment of Yahweh throughout their families, all the males from a month old and upward, were 22,000. So you got the total here?
22,000.
That's minus Aaron and his sons.
Correct?
John knows.
15, 21, 21, 5, 22, 100, 22, 300.
Correct.
22,300.
Did I not read that?
I don't think
it says 22,000.
Mine says 22,000.
But your three numbers here are 22,300.
What does yours say?
Mine doesn't say.
You're at the end of verse 39.
But if you read a little further, there's another number.
Hold on, John. The end of verse 39. What does yours say?
22,000.
That's it. 22,000.
Those are
the
right numbers, though.
John, what does yours say in verse 39?
Mine says 22,000 in verse 39. But you do the math.
I know.
We're 300 out.
Huh.
But that second number is odd, too, because it ends with an odd number, not a round number.
Let me see what Sarah says. Yeah, she's got to have a comment. That was in verse 39?
Yep, 39.
What chapter? Chapter 2 or 3?
3.
3. Chapter 3, verse 39.
Yes.
It says, Yahweh by their clans, every male from a month old and up, 22,000.
Yep, mine was the same. And it's from little guys all the way up. The other ones were military.
Why does it say 22,000? Did you guys have the same numbers that I had to add up?
Yep, I looked up that already. We have 6,200, 8,600, and 7,500.
Oh, Asaph, go ahead, take it away, dude. Teach us.
Which book are we on? This one or this one?
Oh, those are the same thing.
Right?
Yeah. They all look the same.
Well, that's the actual Bible. This is the commentary to the Bible.
Last one, 62.
I think I'll skip out.
John's right.
There you can see the number.
Where are you going? Did they change our calculators? Because mine's doing that too. I thought, well, we have to do this. But it's doing it.
Yeah, so yeah, I don't know why it says 22,000 when you John.
But our second number, we're still 497.
How come you never caught it? Or what?
I think I've caught it before.
No, John.
No, this is the first year you caught it, John.
It's because you got your master's.
That's, yeah. It's sensei harms.
So I get 1 point.
Ting.
All right, yeah, so.
300.
What?
It is 300.
Yeah, but what does your Bible say? That's what we're talking about. In verse 39.
What does 39 say, Linda?
Click, 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 click.
Just in case you were doubting me.
No, I know. I know. But what I'm saying is, why does your Bible only say 22,000?
So well, then
go.
She's gotta know.
Go where, John?
Go a couple of more verses. There's a...
What does your Bible say?
22,000.
Uh-huh, that's why I wrote 22,000.
We need to write into this book and, well, no, we better not.
Okay, so, let's keep reading. Verse 40, because John told me I have to keep reading. So Yahweh said to Moses, number all the firstborn of the males. So Yahweh said to Moses, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names. And you will take the Levites for me, I'm Yahweh, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the livestock of the children of Israel. Moses numbered all the firstborn, as Yahweh commanded him among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males by the number of names from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were 22,273. That's what you want me to read?
Yep, so now we have an additional 273, which is still 27 short.
No. This is for the Israel now. For the firstborn of Israel.
Oh, just the firstborn.
Yeah,
so it's nothing to do with that first group.
Yeah, no, this is the firstborn of Israel now. Because they've got to be redeemed, because they're no longer his, right? The Levites are his.
Right.
So firstborn of Israel was how many?
22,273. But notice, they're going to conflate the two here.
Correct. You're going to have to pay a shekel, right?
For only the leftovers.
Correct. Because the 22,000 Levites...
They're going to redeem each one for one.
Yes.
It's going to leave 273.
So then you got to pay, right, the difference with money or with coins. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
but that's weird. It's bothering me that we have the 300 person
floating out there. Yeah, they're just floating.
I don't like my checkbook's not balancing.
Yeah, and this guy just got his master's. We gotta pick this up.
What chapter are we in? Chapter 3?
Yeah.
Yep.
Numbers 3, verse 39 says 22,000. Instead of, what was the actual number?
22,300.
So who are you writing to now? Who are you texting?
He's Googling it.
Are you going to get your AI buddy to help you with that one?
He's searching it.
Okay.
There's only commentary.
Wow, wow, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, wow, wow,
is right.
There, yeah, this is commentary, just opinions, because the Bible doesn't tell you. All they're saying is maybe the 300 that were lacking were firstborn of the priests. That's what most of these commentaries are saying. Another one says, modern biblical scholars suggest the difference is due to an ancient scribe's error. Because the Hebrew numbers were originally written with letters that doubled as numerical values. As a miscopied letter during an early transmission of the text could easily result in an extra 300. So they're saying, some of them are trying to say that...
So there's not anything special going to happen with these 300.
Nothing special, no. Some say it's just a textual error.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And others are saying that possibly there was 300 firstborn of the Levites that didn't count. But that doesn't say anything here.
Yeah, I would think the second hypothesis, I'd rule it out because it doesn't say anything.
Right. So yeah. So anyway, yeah, so there is a difference. You're not the first, yeah, people have noticed that. Good job, John. But I don't have the answer to that. That was just a little search we should.
We've gone through this a lot of times, and we've never caught that.
Because why would the Bible not add up, right?
And we normally added them all up, but we never caught this one.
Good job. All right.
Nice going, John.
So, verse 44, is that where I'm at?
Yep.
So Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, the livestock of the Levites instead of the livestock of the and the Levites will be mine. I'm Yahweh, and for those that are to be redeemed of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel that are left over from the Levites, you will make or take 5 shekels apiece by the pole after the shekel of the sanctuary. Will you take them? A shekel is 20 gerahs, and you will give the money with which the odd number of them is to be redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the redemption money of those who were over and above those who were redeemed by the Levites. He took the money of the firstborn of the children of Israel, 1,365 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the money of those who were redeemed to Aaron and to his sons, according to the word of Yahweh, as Yahweh commanded Moses. Okay?
How did they know who was left over?
Because they counted them. So they counted all Israel, and then they counted the Levites, right, from the firstborn. And there was 273 more of Israel. So they had to redeem them. Yeah, the firstborn. So they had to redeem them with money. Right? So yeah, so you had the 273 discrepancy. So I'm gonna, yeah, I don't know. Maybe one of those Gershonites or Kohath, somewhere in there.
One of those groups is probably inflated by 300 due to an error.
Yes, correct. That's basically what they're saying.
So, for our purposes, let's just reduce this top number to 8,300.
There you go, John. Yeah, for sure. Okay. All right, let's go to chapter 4. You guys ready?
Is that the home stretch?
This is the home stretch right here. Home stretch, John.
About 13 minutes.
All right. You think I can do that in 13 minutes? How long is that thing? Oh, we got 20 verses. Yahweh spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all who enter the army to do the work in the tent of meeting. This will be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting, about the most holy things. And when the camp sets forward, Aaron and his sons will come, and they will take down the covering veil, cover the Ark of the Testimony with it, will put on the covering of the fine linen, will spread over it a cloth holy of blue, will put in its poles, and upon the table of showbread they will spread the cloth of blue, put it on its dishes, the spoons, the purifying vessels, and the bowls to pour with, and the continual bread will be on it. They will spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, cover the same with a covering of fine linen, will put in its poles, and they will take a cloth of blue, cover the menorah of the light, its lamps, its tongs, its snuffers, all the oil vessels with which they serve to it, and they will put it and all of its vessels within a covering of fine linen, and will put it upon a pole. They will spread a cloth of blue upon the golden altar, and they will cover it with a covering of fine linen, and will put in its poles. And they will take all the vessels of the ministry with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering of fine linen, and will put them on a pole. They will take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth on it. They will put upon it all of its vessels with which they serve around it, the fire pans, the flesh hooks, the shovels, the basins, all the vessels of the altar. And they will spread upon it a covering of fine linen and put in its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is to set forward, after that the sons of Kohath will come to bear it, but they will not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tent of meeting. And to the office of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, are the oil for light, the sweet incense, the daily meal offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of the entire tabernacle, and all that is in it, the sanctuary and its vessels. And Yahweh spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, do not cut off the tribe of the families of the Kohathites from among the Levites, but do thus to them, so they may live and not die when they approach the most holy things. Aaron and his sons will go in and appoint them, each one, to his service and to his burden, but they will not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. Okay, so any comments or questions on that one? And let's do this. I'll draw you a little picture, Miss Viola.
Yep, that's what I like.
That's what you like?
Yep.
You like pictures?
Order. It has to be all in order.
Okay. So, we'll do your order. She likes order of travels. This is from a commentary book that my children bought me, so...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I like to pretend I'm smart, but sometimes I take it out of this book. So you'll have Dan, Asher, Naphtali, right? It's one camp. And then you'll have Ephraim. And I'm writing big enough for you, John, just for you. Writing so big for you. That's me being funny. So you have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin.
Yep, they're together.
I can actually read it from here because it's red.
Seriously?
And I'm not getting any reflection.
then you're going to have Kohath, Gershon, Merari, then Reuben.
So I think they're all interested to see the war, not now.
Simeon.
Gad.
Woo, look at Viola go. Gad.
Just reading on two.
And then you're going to have Judah.
Yep.
Issachar. And Zebulon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all going that way, in that order. So you're going to have Judah, Issachar, Zebulon, Reuben, Simeon, Gad, Kohath, Gershon, and Merari. That's the order they're going, okay? And this is in chapter 2. That's in chapter 2 here in Numbers.
Yes.
1 through 34. Right?
Right.
Okay. But then you're going to have chapter 10, in Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 through 28.
Again? When we get there? Getting ahead of us, John.
So in 10, 11 through 28, you're going to have Dan, you're going to have that tribe come first, okay? Then you're going to have Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin come second, okay? But then you're going to have Kohath with the ark come third.
Between them.
And then you're going to have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad come.
Protection, right?
And you're not going to have Gershon and Merari yet. You're just going to have Reuben, Simeon, and Gad come. And then you're going to have Gershon and Merari come after them. Okay. And then you're going to have those guys. So the order changes up in the chapter. And the reason some of this is going to change up is because when you get into the promised land, when you get into Joshua and they're in the promised land, guess what you're not going to have anymore?
Priests.
You're not going to have traveling anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So the traveling is only for the wilderness.
Yeah.
But the time you get into the promised land, there's no need to travel no more.
Right.
It's all going to be set up. So then what are Merari and all them going to do? When you don't have to carry this stuff no more. Well, guess what David turned them into? David turned them into worship leaders.
Nice, nice.
He turned them into timbrels and
Very good.
Right? And the cymbals and stuff, and the harps. You raising your hand, Asaph? Or are you just scratching your arm?
Yeah.
Right? So then later on, you're going to see the 12 tribes. Right, you'll see the 12 tribes, and then you're going to see 3 days in between them. You guys remember this? And the ark will go out in front of them, and then they'll go into the land. Right, the ark will go out first. There'll be 3 days separation. The 12 tribes are 3 days behind the ark.
Did I miss that reading?
No! This is in chapter 10,
days later.
Verse 33, and this is also in Joshua, chapter 3.
That don't even sound right.
Verse 3. No, yes it is. We read this.
But why would they wait 3 days and then take off?
No, they give them 3 days space, yes.
That don't make sense.
Why 3 days?
Well, 3 is a good number, but okay. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, so anyway, you're going to see the travel will change when they get there. All right, but that's our Torah portion. You guys have any other comments or questions? You guys love the numbers? You love the organization? What do you...
I do.
Yeah. I do. But you forgot to put all these people in chapter 3, where they were at, southeast or west, and then plus all their duties. That really bugged me.
So, okay, dude. So this is Moses and Aaron's family right here. Moses... and Aaron.
You don't have to do it, but...
Oh, no.
But in chapter 3 is the one that bugged me the most.
Why did that bug you? Because of the number?
No, it talked about who was there in the east, west, and south, and all
that. I told you, Moses and Aaron are in the east, who's on the south?
Yeah, but they had duties. All these people had duties.
Correct.
Yeah, and that was important, too.
What were their duties?
One had to carry the lamps.
Which one?
Yeah.
Oh, now you don't want to talk about it? Because I'm asking you.
We could go back to it, but John has to leave, so.
You see him as an excuse.
Well, was saying, hurry up. Oh, we got 10 minutes. I thought, oh, man. We have to get more.
We got 3 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so you've got to leave.
So, any other comments other than you're frustrated about I didn't write the little.
Next year.
Gershon and Merari and them around there.
Next year. In Jerusalem.
So all Yahweh's doing, really, is he's taking a bunch of people who are traveling just wildly, with no order, and you get to see the personality of your God that you worship. Like, ooh, he really loves order.
Glory.
He really loves structure. He loves structure and he loves order. From the very first sentence of your Bible, he took chaos and he put in order.
Amen.
So, does he like rules at your house? Does he like structure and order? He loves it.
Yeah.
And psychologists have found over however long that children, they thrive on structure. Your Bible tells you a child left to himself will end up in destruction. If you just let a child go do their own thing, just, you know, get out of the way or just go in the room and do whatever, they said that child would be left to destruction. But you bring the child in around order and structure, that's where the that's where they thrive, because
they're hungering for that.
That's because it's the wisdom of God working in that structure.
Yeah, they hunger for that.
All right, so y'all ready to pray? Father, we thank you for our time together, Lord. And we just ask you, Father, that you would bless us as we go out into the world for this week, that you would help us to bring order into the chaos, that you would help us to go and bring a garden, Father, that we would go and flip chaos and make it a garden, that you would use us as your gardeners, that you would use us as laborers into your harvest, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen.